Today we begin a brand new series. The series is entitled Walk Across the Room. What I'm demonstrating this morning is that we're going to get back to the basics. Back to the basics of the Christian life. Christian life is it's very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. The very first occupation that ever employed an individual was agrarian. We were an agrarian society when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. He gave them their first job, and that first job on Monster.com was farmer. And so in an agrarian society, we would do things like plant and grow zinnias. That's the purple prints. I want you to hang on to that because you're probably going to be planting those. And I think maybe you look like a sunflower, that cute little face of yours. So I want you to hang on to that because you're going to be planting some flowers. The beauty will keep us in some beautiful things. And then, I don't know, this says big top carrots. You look kind of like a big top carrot. So I want you to do that. And, you know, we need some food. So I think maybe in addition to carrots, we need some squash. And so you're going to be taking care of the squash over there. And I don't know, I think Donette is kind of an okra kind of guy. I didn't say Oprah, I said okra. So I like okra. You got to have a napkin in one hand when you're eating it. Because how many of you have ever eaten okra? And I don't mean fried. I mean real okra. You got to have a napkin in one hand and a fork in the other, right? Because it kind of strings together. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to return to some basics. And just like that agrarian society that began on this place called planet Earth, we're going to go back to the very basics. And we're going to also be talking about sowing seeds, planting seeds, watering seeds, fertilizing seeds, and watching them bloom. But I want you to hang on to those seeds. And we're going to be monitoring the growth of what you do over the next several weeks via video. But I'd like to begin this morning with a back to the basics kind of a verse. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We all learned that in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school, didn't we? Here's the important thing that we can miss sometimes, and that is the way it was written in the original language. It wasn't written "for God so loved the world." It was written "for God so." There's an emphasis on the intensity of the Greek word there. God so loved that he gave a gift. So we're going to be talking about seeds. We're going to be talking about gifts. We're going to be talking about walking on the wild side. God so loved. He loved us so much that he gave his greatest possession, his most prized possession, the most precious possession he had, his only son. And he gave him as a gift because he loved us so much. The first point in your outline is the ultimate walk on the wild side. Now, as we take this walk, remember that? I'm dating myself back to the 70s, but take a walk on the wild side. The ultimate walk on the wild side is found in your Bibles in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8. When I was in seminary and we began the study of Christology in one of the ology segments, Christology, we got to Philippians and we began to talk about the hypostatic union and the kenosis and all these big words that take place in Philippians chapter 2. It's an interesting chapter. It's a very fascinating thing that took place in Philippians 2. Let's look there and let's bring it back to the basics and let's kind of go away from those big words and understand what it really means. Being in the form of God, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I call your attention to the phrase, form of God. The form of God, form of God. Form is the word morphe. It literally means, by definition, the outward expression of an internal nature. It is that Jesus Christ, the God-man, was the outward expression of the internal essence of all that God is. God, all that God the Father is. And so this ultimate walk on the wild side was when God, in the form of Jesus Christ, took a walk across space and time and the universe and entered into this place we call Earth. Has nothing to do here with shape or size. It means that in eternity past, Jesus Christ was God. And so, here's what happened. Because we're talking about the basics of just walking across the room, delivering the message of hope, it means sometimes that we've got to walk across our communities. Think about that for a minute. He left the greatest community. The community that Jesus Christ left was the Trinity. Now, there's not two much better neighbors than God the Father and God the Spirit. So Jesus Christ had to walk away or walk across that community. And think what else that he walked across and left. He left worship. He was being worshiped. He was experiencing the greatest worship. There are some Sundays where we can just sense the Spirit's working. Why it's some more than others, I don't know. I think we'll find out in heaven. But there's some Sundays when we can sense the Spirit here, Pastor Gary, and I feel it and sense it. And it's this incredible sense of worship and a presence of the Holy Spirit. That was all the time. It wasn't intermittent. It was all the time because it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit being worshipped by the angels. I mean, can you imagine 24-7, 24-7, 365 days a year that the Son is being served by angels? Now, it's one thing to get a really, really good server. I mean, you can go to some restaurants kind of like Cheesecake Factory. They're really good servers. I mean, most of the time, I don't think I've ever been there and gotten a bad server. That's because they're depending on that nice, big, fat tip, you know, to pay their bills. But there's great service at some restaurants. But this is being served by angels. I mean, never a flaw. You don't wait. You don't have to ask. And so Jesus left that kind of community. He stepped out of that. And he stepped into human flesh. What am I emphasizing here? Just a little bit of inconvenience. Just a little bit of out of the comfort zone in order to walk across the universe and to save us and redeem us and to buy us back out of the slave market of sin, to stretch out his hands literally and to love us by suffering and dying for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, another verse that most of us understand and have memorized, and that is, but God demonstrates his love, his own love, literally his own love. It's a possessive, his own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He walked across the room. It's the ultimate walk on the wild side. It's God himself walking across the room to humankind. You talk about, wow, this is God the creator of the heaven and earth and the universe. And he became a baby. What is that? I mean, think about it. This is the God of all the universes, and he's going to be in diapers. Yeah, he's going to have a diaper that gets changed. That's not a big deal for us because we're depraved humans. But we're talking about the God of the universes taking this ultimate walk on the wild side. He left that comfort zone. What did he do? Well, he embraced the ungodly, the immoral. He embraced the addicted, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the orphaned. He took that ultimate walk in order to embrace them. Another thing that he did was that he stood up in the face of hypocritical judgment, and he defended women caught in adultery. What do we do? What is our natural tendency? She deserves it. Knock her out. Get big rocks. And he stood up in the face of that hypocritical judgment. He spoke the truth to her. He told her of her sin and he knew of her sin. And then with compassion, he redeemed her and saved her. He walked across the room of that dusty courtyard. He came to buy us back, folks, with a love that we can't even understand. I can't understand God's love. I really can't. It's amazing to me. Have you ever sat and contemplated the love of God? I mean, my love for my wife and for my children is huge to me. But it's not without its flaws. It's not without its momentary lapses into self-serving selfishness. God's love is never, ever lapsing into selfishness. It's always, always, always unconditional. And always, always, always for my benefit. So he gave this greatest gift of all. This greatest gift of all being eternal life and a home in heaven and something we can't even fathom yet, and that is to dwell in the presence of God forever and ever. That's the ultimate walk across the room. And the second thing that we see this morning is there's a walk on the wild side. We are to walk on the wild side and give the gift. Well, what gift is that? Well, we just talked about it. We just talked about that gift. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the second half of the verse says that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. When Jesus left to return to heaven, his last words were this. This is a paraphrase. Share the gift. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 could be paraphrased just like that. Dennis, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's going to be really awesome. It's going to be really a nice place. There's not going to be any flaws in it. It's going to be the most perfect mansion that you've ever seen. And while I'm gone, I want you to share the gift. I've given you a gift, Dennis. I want you to share that gift. And so he gives the Great Commission. For whom is the Great Commission? Is it for a select few? No, who is it for? It's for all. It's for all of us. The Great Commission is pointed to every one of us, and it's our responsibility to all take up our gardening hoe here. And we are to dig it in and break up some soil and dig it in and break up some soil. It's not just for the pros. It's not just for the guys that go to seminary and have this word in front of their name, REV, period. What is that? It's not just for those that are called pastor or deacon or whatever title, Joe. It's not just for them. It's for every one of us to understand that when he left us, he said, share. Share that gift. Well, what does that mean? What is this? What am I supposed to do? Well, I think one of the things it means is that we are to be very personal, one person at a time. I mean, Billy Graham is awesome, and what he has done has been unbelievable and probably incomparable going forward into history. But true evangelism, as we know it and understand it, and as we are responsible to do it, is not to do it the way Billy Graham did it. Billy Graham did it because he was specially gifted by God. And so that is a unique delivery of that gift. But every one of us is equipped, called, and required to go forward and to share that gift. And how am I to do that? Well, there's a number of ways. I remember growing up, I was taught the Romans road. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10, 9, 10, and 13. And you go through and you quote them. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin, the payment of that sin is death. But God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. And then we move on, and we say, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for of all have sinned. And then we come down to chapter 10. If you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, oh, you can't just say it, because even Satan says it. But if you believe it in your heart, then God will save you. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Right? And so we find ourselves there. And that's a great way to do it. And then there's another one that came along called Evangelism Explosion. Dr. D. James Kennedy, the great man of God, who's right now really trying to recover in his health in Michigan. But he authored Evangelism Explosion. And Evangelism Explosion went around the world. And it's a plan and it's a process of delivering the message. It's a plan and a process to walk across the room. And then along came the four spiritual laws. And you had people like Bill Bright and Billy Graham that really were proponents of that. And that was their favorite. And that was their method. And I'm still using Romans Road. And the four spiritual laws come out. And E.E. comes along. And I'm stuck in my ways. And then all of a sudden you've got this child actor turns preacher named Kirk Cameron. What a godly young man he is, and what an impact he's having. And he comes up with one, and he authors it. It's called Way of the Master. And I don't know if you've ever heard him do the Way of the Master, but it's really neat. It's a system. These are all systems that these men and women through history have come up with and used, and those are all delivery systems, and those are great ways to do the same thing. Deliver the gift. Deliver the gift. Make sure you don't miss out on delivering the gift. And so there's no one blueprint for this. It all starts with the same premise, though. Walk across the room. Now, this series is, to give credit where credit is due, is birthed by Bill Hybels, the pastor in Chicago of Willow Creek. Probably runs around 20,000. There's probably been millions that have come through and heard him preach. And he wrote a book, Walk Across the Room. He was burdened about the responsibility of sharing the gift, of sharing Christ on every one of us and not relinquishing that to the professionals, so to speak. Here's the blueprint that's got to be followed. We must listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting. You see, when I am prompted by the Holy Spirit, I know it. You know it, don't you? I mean, sometimes don't you ignore it? Try to ignore it? All right, I heard ya! I mean, that's what I want to do sometimes. He's knock, knock, knocking at me, and I'm kind of hard-headed, and he knocks a little louder and a little louder, and I want to, okay, I heard ya, and just ruined the microphone, I guess. But nevertheless, I find myself being prompted by the Holy Spirit, and that's pretty common for all of us. And you know what? I got a confession. Sometimes I'm scared. Pastor Dennis, we figured with your big mouth that you would have this holy boldness about you, and that you would walk into Beverly Hills Cafe. Who wants to get saved today? Do you know if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven, sir? No. Sometimes I fear. Sometimes I find myself hesitating. Sometimes I find myself that I'm afraid of being rejected. And so the prompting of the Holy Spirit is, Dennis, walk across the room, share the gospel. Many of us let fear, some of us let apathy paralyze us from ever walking across the room. We just get kind of comfortable in this thing called Christian life. We sit in that chair right there, and even though that's a hard, cold chair that your buns can't last too long in that thing, even we get comfortable there, and we find ourselves just kind of snuggling in, and I'm here, and I'm here to hear what he's got to say this week, and I might crack open my Bible this week. In fact, there's this new colorful devotional. Maybe I'll crack that open daily, and I'll see a word from God through these teaching pastors daily, and whatever the case may be. But You're asking me to get up? You're asking me to walk across the room? No, I'm not. God is. God is. God is saying to us, each and every one of us, don't become apathetic in your Christian walk. Don't become fat and full, but find yourself moved. By the way, this is not mappable. You can't Google this. There's no GPS for this. No, it just takes some time and it takes some patience. Did you hear me? It takes time and patience. Before we moved to West Miramar over here in Silver Isles, I think it's about 4 years ago, for 13 and a half years prior, or about 13 years prior to that, we lived in Cooper City. We had bought this little house when we moved back to South Florida from Atlanta, and it took some time and it took some patience. I remember the day we moved in, the Andersons next door with the two little girls came over and came to greet us and brought us cookies, and that was real nice. And we thought, oh, this is great. There's some friendly neighbors. And so as I was a businessman, and they didn't know that I was also a preacher and a pastor, and so we just left it at, I just didn't tell them that. I just told them the business part and just let it ease into that. And so in due time, we reached out and we shared the gospel with Jim and Marlene. We invited them to church many times as we were attending Church of Pembroke Pines at that time, and we reached out to them. And then on the other side, Tony and Betty, and we just knew that they were just as lost as they could be, and they needed Christ, and you could just see anger and discontentment. And we just reached out to them and loved on them. And when they fussed at our son for playing basketball for 30 seconds past 11 o'clock, you know, at night, when he got older, he could stay up late, so he'd be out there shooting baskets. That's all he did was shoot baskets. And they've come over and fussed. That's okay. We're not going to let that. We're just going to keep loving them and keep going over there. And then across the street and with Dave, and we went over there and we shared the gospel and by building a relationship. And listen, it didn't happen overnight. It was like 13 years. Do you know after 13 years, only Ryan and Heather ended up coming to Christ and coming to church and having a small group in their house? And so I could have gotten frustrated. I could have said, man, you know, all these people we've tried to get friendly with and take them cookies and talk to and talk across the fence. And then I remember Ray behind me, he was a union carpenter, and I grew up in construction, and so I love construction guys. I grew up around them. They don't bother me a bit with their foul language and their rough hands because they got tender hearts, most of them. And so I would go across the fence, pool to pool, you know, and we'd find rats underneath the deck and get them out and, you know, do this stuff together. And then they had a problem with his stepson, with his child. And I went over and ministered to them and plugged them into Sheridan House that way. And it's just, it's a long process. It takes time. It takes effort. You got to walk across the room. Now we're in Silver Isles, and we've been there 4 years. And on this side, it's Andrew and Nicola, and they're Jehovah's Witnesses. And we've tried to reach out to them, and that's kind of a block wall. And straight across the street, we've reached out, and they came. They've come to church a couple of times, and got teenage boys that are not in church anymore, and reached out to this one over here. And then behind us, they're Indians, and so they're probably Hindu, and I don't care. I'm going to go reach out and talk to them. And all of a sudden, they were moving to West Palm Beach, and it was interesting because his name is Altoff. He comes over while we're sitting there having dinner. He locks on the door, and he gives me a hug and tells me goodbye. And all the family that was there for that occasion, wow, that was interesting. And I said, I guess because I walked across the yard and talked to him. Showed him I cared about him and made suggestions. He had never owned a house before. Taught him how to kind of take care of the yard and sprinkler system and this, that, and the other. And it was just time and patience. And I didn't always reap what I was sowing. But it's not up to me. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 5 through 9, give us a clear reminder of the purpose. What is the purpose here? This walking on the wild side and giving this gift, what is our purpose in this thing we call the Christian life? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, look at this verse. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Wow, that's our purpose here, PCC. We are God's fellow workers. We're to put on the hat, grab the garden hoe, grab those seeds, and get out there, walk across the room, and sow. We're to suit up and show up and leave the results to God. I'm not keeping notches on my gun belt. That's not my responsibility. Guess what? If Ryan and Heather, across and over two houses, had never come to Christ, had never started attending church, had never but got involved in a small group and had a small group in their home, if they had never done that, I would have done my responsibility before God and would have been rewarded according to my labor. And to God be the glory that they did. You know, sometimes I'll plant a little bit, annuals, because they're easy, you know, and it's kind of hard to kill them. I can kill them anyway, but sometimes I'll plant some seeds, you know, and then the annuals, the impatiens are really, you know, easy, and they're bright and colorful, and they come out, and, you know, and then they die, and you get rid of them, and you start over next year, and those are pretty easy. But most of the time, I don't try to do other kinds. You know what I do? I go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and I buy these beautiful plants. And they got the little tag and tell you how to take care of them and sun and shade and water and this, that, the other. And I just bought this really neat one. It's purple. It's got these purple blooms on it. You know, I'm going to plant it in this nice pot in the back corner of my back patio. Well, someone else planted those seeds. Someone else planted them. Someone fertilized that. Someone watered that. Someone made sure that bugs didn't come in and destroy it and weeds didn't come in and choke it down. Someone else let that grow up. And now I get the benefit of putting that in my backyard, putting my chest out and telling my neighbors to look. And so you see what Paul is saying here. It's not who plants. It's not who waters. It's God gets the glory for walking across the room obediently, sharing the message of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, and then watching as God creates the blooms. And so that's our responsibility. Well, I've done some sowing spiritually as a young man connected to PCC. I've spent a lot of time with him, talking with him, on emails with him, taking him to a local restaurant for lunch and planting seeds and watering seeds and realizing it's just not the right time and hearing the Holy Spirit clearly say, you need to plant today, you need to water today a little bit, but you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that will reap. And so I've been doing that and working diligently with him. I've been breaking soil with him. Just break a little bit of soil. Break a little soil in restaurant in Davie. Break a little soil and okay, let's water that a little bit, and okay, let's just, don't worry about it, Dennis. Let the Holy Spirit work in that arena now. And I've been working hard on him, and then I'm in a lunch appointment with a Sheridan House donor, a local businessman. He's a financial planner, very successful, doing very well. And I'm in a business, and most of my lunches and breakfasts are to raise money. We don't pass an offering plate at Sheridan House. There's no offering plate, so it's this right here, you know. Asking. So I'm there and I'm asking him and we're in Beverly Hills on Sterling and Flamingo and we're eating our salads and we're talking and I'm a people person. I love getting involved. He was a pitcher. In fact, he pitched a shutout in college and big muscular guy, really neat guy and we're getting to know each other. And his wife's got a PhD in education, and so we're talking and finding out about his kids and his wife, and come to find out I had spoken at an 8th grade graduation where she was sitting on the platform. So it was really neat, and it was a good time, and things are going well, and I'm not, you know, I'm not there to plant the gospel. I'm not there to plant seeds. This is not what I came for. I came to get some cash for my children's homes, you know, and so, come on. But I'm feeling something, you know. Prickling my back at that table, and it's saying, Dave is ripe. Go after him. You know, Beverly Hills gets really noisy about 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I mean, really noisy. You can hardly hear yourself talking in there. And I, just feeling this prompting, and I got to walk across a room at this table, and it's, okay, just do it, bonehead, just do it. Okay, so I start in on Dave, this big director, you know, pitcher, successful, makes a lot of money. I said, Dave, I can't explain this to you, man. I'm here, as you know, to ask you for money for Sheridan House, but we got to put that on the shelf, man. I just feel prompted, and he is this big old guy with his big, huge biceps just begins to well up with red eyes to match his red hair. And it's noisy in there. I said, are you ready to do something about this today? He said, yeah. Yeah. I said, let's go out to your SUV. We go out to the parking lot to his big fancy SUV, and we climb in, and he cranks up the air condition. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior right then and there, and could not wait to call his wife, who I have become her best friend now. She's been praying for him for years. Troy Gramling, Pastor Troy Gramling, had planted and planted and planted and planted in the life of David Knierim. He'd been sitting in church and thought it was for everybody else. But he'd been getting it. He'd been getting it. The power of the Word of God will not return void. And David Knierim had been hearing the Word of God, and it had been planting and planting and planting. And then some watering came along, and that little old sweet wife of him, of his, is in that other room, and she's just praying for that husband and praying for him and praying for him year after year after year. And then a man named Harvey Johnson, a local businessman who just has this incredible ministry, as busy as he is, of mentoring young men, young businessmen and couples, meets with couples all the time. I don't know how many married couples he has mentored. It's just amazing, the ministry that Harvey has. Harvey had been pouring into David's life, and so Troy had spent hours of preparation and many, many, many sermons, and Harvey had spent hours of time investing into David's life, and then Dennis DaCosta in 30 minutes. Boom. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I just happened to be open enough that day and set aside my agenda and walked across the room, went out to a hot parking lot, and climbed in an SUV and watched a man with tears in his eyes and shaking in his voice ask Jesus Christ to save him. And so, he got the gift. Number three, walking on the wild side results in various responses. I don't know about you, if you've ever done any planting, but there's a number of different responses. And there's an interesting, parable here that we're going to look at as we come down to a close here. Walking on the wild side results in various responses. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. By the way, this is a parable of the kingdom. There's a number of different, there's a handful of different interpretations or different approaches to the interpretation of this text. One interpretation is the one I'm going to use today for application's sake. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here with this, and I want you to see another perspective of this parable. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Remember the word wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There are various ways that the good news of the kingdom will be received. Remember, the results are not up to us. The responsibility to walk across the room is ours. The results are up to God. As Jesus tells this parable, we notice something. We notice that not all walks across the room will bring the desired result. I believe as Jesus, listen to me carefully, as Jesus is speaking this parable as a warning to the crowd, his disciples are over here watching the master teacher, listening to the master teacher, and they're finding great comfort in this. Yeah. They're listening to him warn the crowd, and they've had their experiences of discouragement. They have found that their walks across the room are not always met with the right kind of results or the kind of desired results, and so they're finding solace in this. Here, our role is to be the partner with God, the farmer, the seed sower. First example. There's four different examples here. Number one, there's the hard soil in verse 4. And he was sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The wayside was the border around the field. And people did not want to walk on the crops and trample on the crops, so they would create pathways on the side of the fields. And that would become the wayside. That was the way. That was the side. That was the way to travel back and forth. And by trampling on that with their feet, they would do what? They would compact it. It would become hard. It would become a dirt road. It wasn't soft soil that had been turned and cultivated and fertilized and made soft and receptive to the seed. And so some of this fell on the hard soil, and it wasn't accepted. The seed went nowhere. It fell on top and the birds came and ate it, or they just got nothing happened. There was no penetration into the heart. Sometimes you will speak the truth in love, you will speak the gospel message, and there will be absolutely no penetration. I sat across a man one time at lunch, a man that had a little too much money for his own good, I guess, and he was thinking that he was just fine because of all his money and he was doing good by society's standards. And as I shared the word of God with him, I could see it in his eyes. His heart slammed shut. You could almost hear the doors of his heart slam shut and the deadbolt click, click. Through his eyes, you could see and hear that. Hard soil, no penetration into the heart. By the way, this does not mean failure on your part. What's my job again? Suit up and show up. Who's the results up to? Exactly. Exactly. Number two, the second example that we find here, as Jesus is warning the crowd and the disciples are observing, there's shallow soil, verse 5 and 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth. There's no depth there. When the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. This seed doesn't take root. Maybe the message was received. It was heard. It was entertained in the head a little bit. But maybe the things of the world were just holding too tightly. Or maybe the challenge of discipleship was just too costly. There is a caution in this one here. It's not for us to judge. If someone receives the message, at least intellectually, and they show up in these seats from time to time, but we see no fruit, dare we judge? I say nay. We can inspect fruit. We can be fruit inspectors, but fruit inspectors don't judge. By their fruits you shall know them. And if you see in wax fruit, doesn't smell right, doesn't provide nourishment, doesn't multiply. Wax fruit, you can put a wax apple in the ground, you're not going to get an apple tree. You can put a real apple in the ground, you might get an apple tree. And you don't see that multiplying, it's not for us to judge. We're to pray. We're to set an example. We're to continue to hold accountable. But don't dare judge. We are to walk across the room and share. Leave the results up to God. The third kind of soil is this distracted soil, and it's in verse 7 here. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. Sometimes you walk across a room and you share the message, you do the responsibility, and there's all these worldly distractions. And boy, is our world full of them, and South Florida exponentially full of them. It could be money, materialism, I've told you before, my brother-in-law comes from rural outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He says, I've never seen so many Mercedes and Lexuses and so forth in my life. Money, materialism, maybe it's power and prestige. Maybe it's unhealthy relationships. I think it's possible for a mother to have an unhealthy relationship with her children such that she shuts out the rest of everything else that should be taking place in her life. And then the fourth soil, and this is the fun one. We get to finish with good news here, and it's the productive soil. The productive soil. There's this hard soil and shallow soil and distracted soil. Productive soil. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground. Good ground. David Kinnearum was good ground. Troy Grambling had preached sermon after sermon after sermon, and Harvey Johnson had poured into his life time and time and time and time again, and Dennis DaCosta just showed up, suited up and showed up and found some good soil. That's all. And it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. A couple weeks ago, David said, hey, I want to have lunch with you. I'm going to bring somebody. My partner. My business partner. He just needs to be around you a little bit. You know what he's saying. Help me walk across the room and share what you've shared with me, with my partner. Help me do that. Show me how to do that. Help me duplicate. Help me become a disciple that makes disciples. So the kingdom message takes root in this productive soil here. You see fruit. There's multiplied seed and there's purpose accomplished and disciples follow. There's three quick things I want to share with you as I close and about this productive soil. Not in your notes, just you don't have room for it, but if you want to jot it down, you can. This parable is not only to warn the crowd, but to encourage the disciples, because much seed will fall in differing degrees on stony ground, and you need to be prepared for that. There's a lot of discouragements in life, and there's discouragements in the Christian life. And we have to be prepared. But it should not, listen to me carefully, it should not inhibit us from walking across the room and sharing this gift. The second thing is, or under that point, don't be discouraged. Celebrate the seed that grows, that blossoms, that expands the kingdom. Hey, I want to celebrate David Kinnearum, not the neighbors that never came to Christ. I want to celebrate David. I want to celebrate Ryan and Heather. That's what I want to celebrate. And I want to say, Lord, don't let me be blind or stupid to the next walk across the room I need to take. The second thing about this productive soil, it calls on us to walk across, to walk on the wild side, to walk across the room in school, in our office, in our neighborhood, and yes, even in our families. Some of us need to be walking across the room in our families. Might be an in-law that we really refer to as outlaws. We need to be walking across the room to them too. Sometimes they're the most difficult ones. Prophet in his own country has no honor. You need to sit down over in the corner of the next reunion. Hey, let's go over here and have a second cup of coffee, Jim or Debbie or Janice. Something on my heart I want to talk to you about. And then finally, this productive soil, it's God's job to save and to change lives. We are to be obedient to the Spirit, walk across the room, and share. That's it. That's my job. Dennis. Okay, Spirit. I got you. I hear you. Walk across the room. Share. Christ walked across, gave us the ultimate gift. First thing is, have you received that gift? Have you received that gift? My heart's desire is that you've received that gift. that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I mean, I've done some planting here. Somebody else may have done some planting, and I'm watering here. It's up to the Holy Spirit to reap, to harvest. First thing, first responsibility is to receive that gift. The second one, PCC. I wasn't planning to say this, but I'm going to say this. PCC, if you're a gift holder, if you've received the gift, some of you are being selfish with it. Some of us are not walking across the room. We're hoarding that gift. We're just hanging on to it. I mean, it's a precious gift, but the last thing Jesus said was what? When he ascended, share it. I've given you a gift. I've done the ultimate walk across the room in Philippians, and I've given you a gift. And don't be selfish with it. Walk across the room and share that gift. Yeah, but Pastor Dennis, I'm not a big mouth like you. I don't have all this theology degree stuff. So, John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's it. People will never know how much you care until you show them you care. So we walk across the room and we stop hoarding this and we share it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, the one response I would hope for today, is that you would have a greater desire to walk across the room and share the gift. I'm going to pray. Pastor Gary's going to come and we're going to sing a song that is a song that lets us contemplate the words of God. And it's a closing song. It's our conclusion time. Before I pray, I want to ask you a question. Just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and you've never accepted that gift. Oh, it's been sown and it's been watered, but you've never accepted it. It hasn't fallen on good ground yet. You say, Pastor Dennis, just pray for me. Just pray for me because I've not yet chosen to follow Christ, accepted Christ. So just raise your hand and show me that and let me pray for you. That's it. Just pray for me. Pastor Dennis, pray for me. I've not yet done it. I'm seeking. I'm listening. You watered me some more today, but I've not yet accepted. Just lift your hand. Then the next one is the one I really want to ask you, because I kind of felt like we were mostly holders of the gift. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Dennis, this new series is, I don't know if I'm coming back. I'm a little bit convicted. Well, I'm glad you're convicted. I want you to come back, though. We're going to have three messages in total, but I want to ask you in closing, if you're here today and you've kind of neglected, kind of close the deaf ear to the Spirit's prompting. Did you say, Pastor Dennis, I know I need to walk across the room. I'm thinking of somebody right now. I'm going to write their name down, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give me the right timing, and I'm going to walk across the room, and I'm going to share with them. I'm not asking you to commit to do it today, tomorrow, this week. I'm just asking you to commit to walk across the room. If you would say, Pastor Dennis, right now, I know there's someone I need to share it with. I'm going to commit to do that. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I see these hands. Anybody else? Yes. Raise your hand. Commit. Come on. I see that hand. Yes. In the back. Anybody else? Pastor Dennis, I know I need to commit to that. Maybe not this week, but I'm going to write their name down and I'm going to pray for them. Anybody else before I pray? Yes. Yes, I see that hand. All right, right before I pray, God is probably prompting you right now with a name. More than likely, the Holy Spirit has given you a name, maybe even a face in your mind. I'm going to ask you to write it down right now. Just write it down. And pray for them this week. Father in heaven, as we come into your presence, we're so thankful that you walked across time and space and eternity. And you came and you gave the ultimate gift to us. And now you are requiring us to share that gift. You didn't ask us. You told us, share the gift. And so I pray, Father, that at PCC, we will this morning be encouraged and challenged and admonished to walk across the room and to share that gift. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll prompt us according to your timing to shut down our fears, to shut down our fear of being rejected and our fear of failure, and that you would shut down any apathy we have in this Christian walk, and that we would, according to your timing and prompting, walk across the room and share with that neighbor, with that family member, with that colleague at work. Father, would you bless this effort to bring souls into the kingdom according to your perfect plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, in closing, I just want to share a couple of additional thoughts, as it's really not much else to say. But I know it can be scary to look at that person across the side of the room, your coworker, family member. And the funny thing is, you know, the closer the person is to you, sometimes the scarier it gets to walk across the room. Our job is to plant and to water. To plant and to water. It doesn't require any eloquence of speech or anything. Paul talked about that. All it requires you to do is really to say what's in the words of this song. And to share with others around you that this light of the world step down into darkness just so that I can have a tomorrow that's promised. You too can have a tomorrow that's promised. But only that, you can have a better life today. And you can have a greater life today. And that's it. Plant and water. Plant and water. That's our encouragement to you this morning, an encouragement to us. Plant and water. Plant and water. Let's just rise as we sing this song in closing.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Lord. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your word is so powerful that it never goes out and returns void. That every time your word is spoken, Lord, it plants or it waters. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the boldness to walk across the room and just speak your word, Lord Jesus. One verse, two verses, three verses, whatever. But all it takes is one verse from the most powerful book ever conceived of. And it will plant and it will water. Lord, give us the boldness, Lord. I thank you for Dennis and thank you for his love for you. I thank you for each and every member here. A member of this body of Christ and their love for you. Lord, I pray that we'll take this gift that we have, this love that you've given us, Lord, and share it with others, such so that we fulfill the two greatest commandments, which is love God and love others, yes. And you'll do the rest. Lord, bless each and every person as they leave here. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.
You stepped down into darkness.